We're going to continue our series this week on the fruits of the Spirit. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Galatians 5:22, some of you may know this, memorize this. This is a good one to memorize. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Everyone wants to be happy. Isn't that right? We sing songs about being happy. If you ask people what their number one ambition in life is, many people will tell you, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And the truth is, you can find happy people all over the world. You can, but you can also find unhappy people all over the world. I run into probably more unhappy people than I do happy people. And all of us, in various ways, I think, or have various ideas of what will make us happy. It kind of depends on the person, but most of us think that if we always have a good day, you know, if we could just all have a great day, that brings happiness, we'll just be happy. But can you be happy even in the bad days? Can you just have happiness there? But what makes a bad day? Can you define what makes a bad day? Is a bad day when you have a flat tire on the way to work after your boss says, if you're late one more time, you're going to lose your job? Who's been there? I mean, you know, is that a bad day? Is it a bad day when you go to the gas station and it takes almost every bit of the money out of your bank account just to fill your car up? Is that a bad day? What defines a bad day? One person has a flat tire and one person is diagnosed with cancer and says that you've got 4 months to live. Now, which day is worse than the other? I mean, what defines your bad day? You think about that. You know, it may be easy to be happy when everything's going your way, but what about the rest of your life? What about the rest of life? Are you happy only when everything is going your way or when everything is good? You know, I think that sometimes happiness is overrated. I've said that before jokingly. Because people try to define happiness on your circumstances or on things going on in your life instead of really looking to the real source of happiness. We know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. What brings joy to your life? Because why do we know that? Because Paul just said that. We just read it. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Paul also reminds us this, that in Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." So happiness depends on happenings. Is that right? It comes from the root word, which means circumstances. I'm happy today because things just happen to turn out right for me today. But I may not be happy tomorrow because things may not be so good tomorrow. Sometimes we're happier when it's a beautiful sunny day like today, more so than we are when it's, you know, 5 below zero and it's snowing and all that. Amen, brother. Amen. But, you know, happiness and joy is different. It goes much, much deeper. Joy isn't really an attitude. It's a choice that we make. Joy is what's inside, and it's not dependent on circumstances. It's your choice to rejoice, and you can choose, regardless of the circumstances, to be joyful. It doesn't matter whether you're flat on your back, sick, you can still have joy in your heart because you know God's in control. God has a purpose for our lives, and we can rejoice because God has a purpose for our lives. Amen? In fact, He has a purpose for every situation in our lives, and the good stuff as well as the bad things. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." You know, I've told you that God is in the life-changing business, isn't He? He changes people's lives, and that's what He does. He takes a life and He changes it. Romans 5:3 says, "We also exult in our own tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character brings hope." Different translation. Whatever happens in your life is there for your good, even the bad stuff. That's hard to swallow, isn't it, sometimes? Because I know when we're going through bad stuff, you're trying to figure out what in the world's going on here. Why? What good could come out of this? We look at the Greek word translated sufferings. It means distress, and it refers to anything that puts us under pressure. It's a translated also as trials and troubles and pressures and problems. Many people have the misconception that when they get rid of their problems, when they get rid of their pressures, they will be happy. But we're never going to get rid of our problems while we're here on this earth. There's always going to be something going on in your life. That's great news, isn't it? Everybody likes to hear news like that, right? Jesus said, surely trials will come. You're gonna go through stuff in life this side of heaven. Joy is learning to enjoy life in spite of your problems. And joy is not the absence of problems, but it's realizing the presence of God in the midst of all your problems. That's why Paul says we rejoice in suffering, not because of suffering. Christ can be a positive even in a negative situation because we know God has a purpose for it. You know, we have a perspective that non-Christians do not have. People are like, why is, you know, and even I read in the historical writings where, you know, the Romans would even say the Christians die well. I mean, in the middle of all their persecution, even non-Christians noted in historical writings that there was something different about people who believed in Jesus. They were different. Look how they love people. They're just different. And that's what's so attractive about the gospel, about knowing Jesus. And when you know Jesus, when problems come, it's just another day. Just something else. It doesn't affect you like it does others. No matter what happens to us, God is ultimately in control of it all. And He's big enough to take care of all that stuff. The little stuff, the big stuff, God takes care of it all. And He can take it and make it work for our good. He can take all that bad stuff and make it work for our good. It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? It's like a Hallmark movie. It's a matter of perspective. You know, a young lady leaves a little town. You've heard this story before. Goes off, big dreams, fails at it, comes back home. On her way into town, she has a blowout, flat tire. Tow truck driver stops. Rob gets out, just happens to be her high school sweetheart. Hadn't seen her for a while. Rob's dating some other girl, you know, that he really doesn't like. Won't make a commitment to her because he's still in love with the young lady that left him, broke his heart. You know the story, right? All the Hallmark movies are the same. Perspective makes all the difference in the world. You know, she may have been thinking she's having a bad day, you know. Problems make a huge difference in how we react to them. Problems have a purpose, though, in our life, I think. The book of James also speaks about the subject when it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Notice the word knowing. We should know that the testing of our faith produces endurance. It makes us stronger, and so stronger that we strong that we become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Man, when we go through some stuff, man, we get stronger, don't we? It makes us better when we go through it. Even when we don't think when we're going through it that how in the world could this make us better, but we're better on the other side of it. God has a purpose for all that stuff that goes on in our life, so we should rejoice in the fact that we should have joy because of God. And knowing that, God has given us a life of hope. You hear me? God has given us a life of hope. We're not like non-Christians. We have hope. And we have hope here. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Paul also said that if I live, I live for Christ. And if I die, I die for Christ. Right? As Christians, we should never be without hope. In any situation, we should never feel hopeless. And it's said that a person can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not 1 minute without hope. But we're in Christ, and we should always have hope. Amen? Because we have Jesus in our hearts. Jesus gives us hope. Amen? The Bible says, "Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world," right? Isn't that a verse of hope? Many people have hope, but they have not based it on anything solid or tangible. It's an artificial hope. Many people base their hope on wrong things. They base their hope on the stock market. Or they base their hope on a big salary one of these days, or a good job, or a perfect family. Some people spend a lot of their money on lottery tickets just so they hope they can win big, and that'll bring happiness to their life if they can just win big. And let me tell you, money doesn't bring happiness. Because if you're unhappy poor, you'll be unhappy rich. And you can just follow the news and watch the rich and famous. You can see most of them are miserable people. Just because they got a lot of money doesn't make them happy. And when all that stuff disappears, or it's only temporary, and when it's all taken away and it all disappears, and so does their hope. And when hope is gone, and so is their joy, because joy is impossible without hope. But as Christians, we have a reason to have hope. Come on now. We have a reason to rejoice. Greater is He who is in me and you than is in the world today, right? Come on. We have Jesus in our hearts. And no matter what goes on in this world, guess what? You still got Jesus in your heart, because no one can take that away from you. They can take your life, they can take your possessions, they can take everything that you have, but they cannot take Jesus away from you. All kinds of things can happen to Christians. Let me tell you, we're not exempt from problems. We're not exempt from health issues. We're not exempt from those things. But what we have is Christ with us. Right there. No matter what we're going through, He is there. All the world may be crashing down around you this morning, but guess what? Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. I can always have joy because of that. I can always have joy because of that fact. God is always for us. He is always for His children. Greater is He who is in you. But this verse goes right along with this one. If God is for us, who is against us? Romans 8:31. God is on our side in everything that's going on. I don't think there's any greater passage than the fact than this Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave Himself for us, and we can be joyful in any circumstance because God is always with those who believe in Him. No matter where you are, where we are, or what we're facing, as believers, we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and we have become God's friends, and His friendship will last forever. Amen? Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 3 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, I will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He's saying, no matter what you're going through in your life, I'm going to be right there with you. Right there with you. I think that's another scripture we should memorize right there. We should remember that every day. God is for you, and nothing can overwhelm you. Nothing can destroy you. The devil can't, other people can't, and God won't. No matter what you go through in life, you will never go through it alone. Isn't that a wonderful knowledge to have in your heart? That's a reason to rejoice, isn't it? I get a little bit excited over that. I mean, I get overwhelmed in my soul because I realize that God is with me no matter what. And I think joy is like a muscle, though. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. And I think we got to develop an attitude of gratitude. We have to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. That's the attitude that we should have. Notice again that we do not have to be thankful for all circumstances. Rather, we are to be thankful in all circumstances. We don't have to like what we're going through, do we? You know, I was reading once, it said, psychologists say that gratitude is the healthiest emotion. I think we need to cultivate inner joy by giving. I'm not talking about money this morning, although it's good. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think we need to develop inner joy through service. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Mark 8:35. The happiest people are usually too busy serving others to even realize whether they're happy or not. Joy comes as we get our focus off ourselves most of the time and concentrate on bringing joy to others, which I believe is what we're called to be. We're to show joy to this world. We're to show the love of Christ, and joy comes through that, doesn't it? We are to show that to this dying and dark world that we're different from everybody else. No matter what we go through in our life, we're different because of the one that lives inside of us. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Can we remember that today? We have a choice to rejoice. I choose to rejoice this morning. Amen? I choose to praise Him. Can we do that today? Amen.